is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamplight Ministry. And we thank you for being part of today's program as we continue making our way through the wonderful book of Jeremiah. We encourage you to get your Bibles and follow along with us as we dive into this wonderful program that we have prepared, titled Preparation for the Call. And of course, before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to dive into the book of Jeremiah to learn more about you, Lord, and what your word is and what your will is. I pray for those, Lord, who have tuned in, and they will be blessed mightily, Lord, and they will know your will for their lives as well. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into a Truth to Set Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamplight Ministry. Again, Jeremiah chapter 1, second part of our teaching, Preparation for the Call. Get your Bibles ready and follow along with us. And those of you that follow us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family. And of course, before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another wonderful week in the book of Jeremiah.
Yeah, so good to be finally back into Jeremiah, a whole new book. You know, folks, if you're with us, over the last year, we spent quite a lot of time going verse by verse through the book of Isaiah, which is the longest book in the Bible, 66 chapters. But now we're going to do another of what's called the major prophets, and that's Jeremiah, who's known as the weeping prophet about 2500 or 2600 years ago, really. His prophecies were to Jerusalem and about its impending destruction because their ongoing disobedience to God. So, Vic, good to be with you again for another week, brother.
Nathan, always a lot of fun, especially this season now. The weather is changing just slightly here in Florida. It's only 101 degrees. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, same in Dallas, yeah.
But we're looking forward to the seasons changing a little bit. But it's just nice, Nathan, to be able to reflect on God's goodness at every level, you know?
Amen, brother. Absolutely.
So, Nate, I hear some exciting news about you, that you're going to be doing some traveling, and you've done some amazing podcasts. So what was that as a reminder again? Where are you headed?
Oh, well, this Friday and Saturday is the Hope for Our Times Regional Conference here. Not too far. It's east of Dallas, called Rockwell, Texas. And I'll be this one of the speakers Friday night. It's Tom Hughes is hosting the conference, but Olivier Melnick and Andy Woods, Randall Price, and others will be speakers, and that'll be a good time. And then 2 weeks, I go to Germany. This has been in many years in the making, and so I'll be at the Bible Center, who's run by Johannes Vogel, and they have a seminary there, and I'll be speaking at two conferences and teaching the students about. I'm going to use my new book that's in the works called What Does the Bible Really Say About the Rapture? And I'm going to teach the students the ins and outs of the rapture and the second coming. And so I'll be gone for 2 weeks for that. So, folks, there will be a little delay in between. Vic and I will take a short break during those 2 weeks while I'm away for the podcast. But stick with us. We'll be back, and we'll dive right back into Jeremiah when I return.
That is awesome. And Nate, so in case someone is new and maybe they're wondering, hey, I wonder what was the first program about? How can they get a hold of that?
Wow. Well, you want to go to our website at christinprophecy.org. We have a wealth of information there to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our passion is about the soon return of Jesus. And so christinprophecy.org. You might be listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, pray.com, or even through our RSS feed. And so we're so glad you could join us on all these platforms. But if you want the entire archive, then go to our website, again, christinprophecy.org. Under media, just click podcasts.
Thank you so much, Nate, for sharing that. And we want to encourage all of you that are tuned in to check out these amazing resources to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord.
And so, Nate, to answer your question, it's Haiti. Yeah. I mean, our first discussion was about the earthquake in Haiti, and there's been some big earthquakes since then, right? And of course, we've been following what's going on in Venezuela and other places.
Nathan, actually, thank you for the great reminder. We are actually Speaking of earthquakes, I have two pastors in Colombia in the recent earthquake
Ooh.
that both lost their churches. Their churches were totally
Oh.
destroyed, Pastor Luis, Calvary Chapel in Colombia. So this past few weeks, we decided to do a little bit of a fundraiser. So we were able to raise some funds to send them. And again, this is not to, of course, this is not a fundraiser, but I dedicated a few of the books that I wrote and one that you and I wrote, The Mighty Angels of Revelation, as well as Navigating the Revelation Letters. And for the next few months, anybody that buys any of those books, 100% of the proceeds will go to help rebuild a church in Colombia. So anybody that's interested can go to Amazon.com and just look for Victoriano Batista. So Nate, thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah, because so if they could keep that in prayer, that would be great for the Calvary Chapels in Colombia.
Oh, that's a good cause. Oh, man, that's rough. I tell you that, well, the Bible prophesied an increase in natural disasters, and we're certainly seeing them this year.
Absolutely. But Nathan, good memory, and thank you for just again reminding our listeners how they can catch all of our programs. And Nate, we're excited about that the second portion here as we look at Jeremiah chapter 1, because we already saw how exciting the life of this prophet is. And we also talked a little bit about his calling and God calling him to ministry from last week's program.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremiah, we learn, was not even old enough to become a priest yet. He was in a priestly family. He was a son of Hilkiah. They were priests in Anathoth, which is about 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And his job would have been to be in the priesthood, but God called him instead to be a prophet and to serve the Lord and to do a very difficult job, and that is to call God's condemnation down upon the people of Judah and Jerusalem, which is the capital. The northern tribes in Israel had already been taken away into exile by the Assyrians in 722 BC. And now Nebuchadnezzar is coming against Jerusalem in three different exiles. Already in, I believe it was 605, Daniel and Ezekiel had been taken away to Babylon. And so that just leaves pretty much, you want to call them the leftovers. And Jeremiah is with the leftovers trying to get the king to turn this people back to God in the time they have short. But it's a very different message from most of the prophets who also, they have this what's called forthtelling. They call the people to repentance and turn to God so that he might then turn his wrath away. But we're going to see in the book of Jeremiah, that's not going to be the case at all. God has already said, hey, you've passed the red line, the point of no return. You will face judgment, but through that judgment, a remnant will come to salvation. So there's always a bright light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. And Nate, speaking of his age, I'm reminded again, verses 4 and 10, his calling. It says, verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And verse 10 says, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, this day I set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build up and to plant. And Nathan, as you mentioned in our last program, this was a young a teenager, right? And here God is giving him this amazing call and also sharing with him some of the details.
Yeah, Jeremiah is going to be a prophet for about 41 years, is what most theologians believe. So, yeah, he's very young and he's got a very hard life ahead of him. I mean, the people hated his message for obvious reasons. He was incredibly afflicted and he ends spending his remaining years in exile in Egypt. And so it's there's no wonder they call him the weeping prophet. So sometimes the Lord does call you to things that you don't want. I have to admit, Vic, that I was a missions major back in Bible college, and for years I was worried the Lord would call me into some of these countries that I really had no desire ever to go to. I'm like, well, that's how the Lord works. Yeah, when you get a calling, He's going to send you someplace terrible, or put you in uncomfortable situations, or make you miserable. And really, that's, I think a lot of us think that that's what a calling is where God ruins your life, and that's not what a calling is at all. We've got it all wrong. God will call you to where you will serve him and be blessed by being in his presence every day, depending on him every day. So, yeah, I think a lot of Christians, especially when it comes to evangelism, are terrified God's going to call them like Jeremiah. But bear in mind, folks, that Jeremiah is the worst case scenario prophet of maybe other than Hosea, who had to marry a prostitute. Jeremiah really is the worst of the callings. But the very fact that 2,600 years later, we're reading not only one, but he wrote two books of the Bible, shows that the Lord is going to bless him forever for his great sacrifice.
Nathan, and that's a great point. And that's true. You know, we're all have been given different gifts and talents, and God uses us in a mighty way. All we have to do is be obedient to whatever he calls, and he will also equip us. And I last week I think I shared a little quote that I heard a radio program here, that every time they will open the radio program, they will share that God doesn't call the qualified, God qualifies the called. And that's what you and I are noticing here, even with Jeremiah. God is calling him, prepare him, and qualify him. And God basically said to him in verse 10 why he had appointed him. He said, "See, this day I set you over the nations, over the kingdoms, three things: to root down and pull down, to destroy and throw down, and to build up and plant." And as we make our way through the entire book of Jeremiah, Nate, these will be the things that we'll be touching on, those times where we'll be pulling down and throwing down and planting.
It reminds me of that psalm that the birds sang, a time, there's always a time for something. And this is a time for Israel had gotten so bad. I mean, and I'm going to compare it to that Lindsey Clancy trial. The fact that 11 of the 12 jurors thinks that a woman who murders her three children is innocent shows that we have really reached a moral low in this country, and we really deserve the Lord's judgment to bring us back to him. And this, it even got even worse for Judah and Jerusalem. The Jewish people were a covenantal people. They were supposed to be a light to the nations. They were supposed to look at the Jews and say, "Hey, I want to know Yahweh God." But they became just as evil, if not more so evil, than the people around them. And that's where the prophet Habakkuk learns that when the Lord, he says, "What are you going to do about the evil of my people?" And the Lord says, "I'm going to send the Babylonians down and destroy them." And Habakkuk's like, "What? That's not what I wanted." And now we're at the point where Jeremiah is seeing that happen. I mean, imagine, Vic, if Mexico showed up every few years, ransacked the United States, took all our rich people and our leaders back down to Mexico, and then we just, got weaker and weaker, knowing that the next fight and the next fight we couldn't hold it off. And that's what Judah was facing. And but they did it to themselves, and go all the way back to Deuteronomy 28 through 30, where the Lord told Moses to tell the people, "If you continually rebel against me," and I'm talking generation after generation for hundreds of years, "I will exile you." And now we're at that point.
Excellent, Nate. And that's why, as we look at the prophet Jeremiah, like you mentioned, he is, as far as one of the hardest cases of his calling, of the challenges, the suffering that he went through, but he did it out of obedience to the Lord. And as we continue looking at Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 19, we'll also notice some more detail regarding his calling. Will you be able to read for us, Nate, there, verses 11 through 14, and I'll read 15 through 19, in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Okay, Jeremiah 1:11, and we're reading in the New King James. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Jeremiah, what do you see?' I said, 'I see a branch of an almond tree.' And then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word.' And the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, 'What do you see?' I said, 'Well, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north.' And then the Lord said to me, 'Out of the north the calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land.'
Ooh, verse 15, for behold, I'm calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgment against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their hands. Therefore, prepare yourselves and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar, and a bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah and against its princes and against its priests and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Nathan, another grand opening of the second portion of the book.
Yeah, it's fascinating because here the Lord asks Jeremiah to look at two things. And when we see a branch of an almond tree, it's like, what is he talking about? Now, branch can also be interpreted as a rod or a switch. In other words, you go back to the old days, take them out to the woodshed. You know, you'd back in the old 1800s, early 1900s, the parent would say, okay, go get a switch. In other words, take a branch off of a tree and wait behind the woodshed for, you know, the bad kid, and they will be switched for what they're doing. And this is what the Lord's saying. That's the branch. In other words, you're going to get switched for your crimes. I mean, we're talking about child sacrifices. We're talking about people stealing each other's wives and committing murder and all. And then the fact that the temple continued to praise God, but they continued to disobey God at the same time. And so that's what he's saying here. He says, okay, you're going to see a switch, which I'm going to, or a rod, I'm going to punish you. And also there's a boiling pot. In other words, danger is increasing and it's coming from the north. And we know that's going to be the Babylonians.
Nathan, and that's a very good point. I never liked switches, by the way, you know?
My parents used the belt. Not all, yes. But yeah, they right. Preferred belts over. So you were switched?
I was everything. I was switched. I was broomsticked. I was everything. But discipline, Nathan, is one of those things that from time to time we all need it to put us in the right direction. And I love that point that you made because it also shows God's tender mercies in the midst of disobedience. And that's the point. Well, God always wants people to repent and turn to him. God doesn't want judgment on people. But I mean, here are God's people burning incense to other gods, right, Nathan?
Mm-hmm.
Idolatry, all the things that the Bible tells us that they ought not to do. The people that are called of God, they're supposed to be separate. And the nation of Israel was called to be different.
You know, you bring up an excellent point that while there was many sins that they committed, there's a reason that the first two commandments are God first and no idols, because they're the two most important. And they're absolutely right. That's what the people of Judah had become. I mean, even they didn't even learn the lesson from their northern neighbors. They didn't listen to the prophets. And it just gotten so bad that they'd hardened their hearts so much and they just had no desire to see God. They had no desire to repent. And, you know, Vic, we're like, man, what is wrong with those people? But brother, I look out across the world and this is the state of affairs. More so for the West, because the West at least knew about the Lord, knew about Jesus, and we've abandoned him in our Judeo-Christian roots. The rest of the world doesn't have those Judeo-Christian roots to fall back on, but we do, so we should know better. And so I really don't see very much difference between society today and the society that Jeremiah was in.
Nathan, and I agree with you. And today we also get the same type of a backlash, if you will, for bringing the truth to the people. People just don't want to hear it. No matter how you try to portray it, they just want to do whatever they want. And oftentimes we find we have to obey what the Lord calls us to do, whether people like it or not, because really at the end, if we don't proclaim what the Lord has told us to, it's ultimate destruction for our nation and for people. And sad to say, most of the prophets and apostles that God sent, the Bible tells us some they stoned, some they killed, they mocked. And also that hasn't changed today, right, Nate?
No, I mean, the church is absolutely a laughing stock to most people. And it deserves it in some part because it's gotten absolutely ridiculous. It's so worldly, you can't even tell the difference from it. And to the point where it's so worldly that it's a joke. I think of, lesbian bishops holding gay festivals and making rainbow communion bread, and you know it's absolutely absurd. Or I just read St. Paul's Cathedral now for the next 4 years is going to be renting out their cathedral to a nightclub. I mean, this is what the state of the church is today. And it's again the temple, and this is the problem that the Jewish people had, is they would say whenever a prophet would come and say God's going to bring judgment on us, and they would say the temple, the temple, the temple. In other words, God lives in the temple, And so nothing will ever happen to us because God would never allow his house to be ransacked. And yet he told his prophets again and again, hey, no house can hold me. I'm the God of the universe. And so it doesn't matter whether the temple's in Jerusalem or not. If I pull back my protection, you guys are going to get ransacked. And that's exactly what's going to happen. You couldn't tell the people. And it really was very evil on the people's parts that they thought that God was really nothing more than a lucky talisman, or he was kind of tied to his covenant. They weren't, but he was. And so, haha, we got him. And I saw a shirt recently by a guy who's he does a Star Trek, a Trek culture, Irish guy, and he's wearing a T-shirt and it had a little demon standing in front of a rainbow, and on the shirt said, "Not today, Jesus." And the demons know that they're ordained to be sent to hell, but not today. And it was just so blatantly in your face satanic. And that's kind of how these people are. They're like, hey, God, we're going to hold you at your covenant, even if we're not going to obey it. And that's really, Vic, I got to say, one of the worst forms of treachery.
Nathan, and I tell you, and it's one of those signs of the times. It's just going to continue to get worse. People are going to be more perverse, and this is why true prophets, true pastors, teachers, individuals that have a true calling, it's going to be tested, and we need to stand for truth no matter what, because a true calling requires commitment, courage, dedication, sacrifice, and suffering. And we see that so many are caving in. I mean, think about it, renting a church to a nightclub, or for the sake of popularity or attendance, the things that so-called churches are doing today. And to me, Nathan, that is a sad state for the church. And it shows clearly the difference between somebody who's truly called or somebody who's just a hireling, you know?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought it back to the calling thing, because a true calling is God has sent you on a mission. I mean, it's obvious he's given you the skills and talents. But I love here when you read here that he says, I'm going to give you the words to say, I'm going to make you like a fortified city. In other words, you're going to be invincible because I'm behind you, and you're going to go up to priests and princes and all, and you're going to fight against them in my name. And he promises in verse 19, I am with you and I'm going to deliver you. When you say, Vic, there's a lot of parallels between Jeremiah's calling and Moses's calling at the burning bush.
Nathan, absolutely. And not only that, but also I had a reference to Joshua, because Joshua chapter 5, excuse me, 1 verses 5 through 10, again, also for those that got called, he says, again, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give you. Only be strong and be courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the laws which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So yes, Nathan, just like Moses and also Joshua, we see that that was God's calling for them.
Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful thing to know that the Lord is with you. Now we assume that, well, that has to be, that's the Old Testament, the Lord was there, or maybe even the New Testament, the apostles. But what about us, the average Joes, the daily Christians? Well, why is it any different from them and us? They might have been chosen for certain tasks that made it into the Bible, but certainly each of us have been chosen to do a task in the Lord. And so why would the Lord not be with us and not protect us and not give us the words when we're called just as much as these men were called? And so that's, again, I think another thing that goes back to the fact that we're scared of our calling. We're scared that God's going to make us enter uncomfortable situations, and it's human. I suffer from all the time, but the Lord will be there for you. He will give you the strength. You'll see miracles, and you'll be better for it. And the people that he sends to serve, they might be like Joshua, excuse me, like Jeremiah's, who reject the message, but you've still done what the Lord has asked you to do, and that's all he's asked you to do.
Nathan, and that's a good point. It doesn't mean that we will not be scared at times or intimidated, but we want to obey the Lord. You know, Paul the Apostle in Romans 1, Romans 1, 1 says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated, to the gospel of God. Now, we know that Paul went through a lot. He called upon the Lord to strengthen him in his ministry, but he was obedient. And that's the same thing that God requires of those that he calls, is to be obedient no matter what. We're human. We'll be scared at times. We'll be intimidated. But like you mentioned, Nate, God will be with us. And hey, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Oh, amen, brother. I love Isaiah 6, Isaiah, which we just finished going through his book. But when he was called, he was like, here am I, send me. You know, there was this enthusiasm. He wouldn't say, here I am. I've got all these, prestiges and awards, and I'm so good. No, he's like, hey, I'm available. Why don't you send me? You know, there was this willingness. And we don't see that with, say, Jonah. Jonah ran away from his calling.
Right.
And God pulled him out of the ocean by a large fish and spit him onto the land and said, you go to Nineveh. And so there's times where we can argue the calling. We saw that certainly with Moses arguing with God, not wanting to do the calling. Gideon was the same way, very reluctant. But in the end, if God's called you to do it, you can't step back. He's going to make you do it, whether you want to or not.
Really? Nate, and that's a very good point. We have the reluctant prophets, we have the obedient prophets, and then we have the scared prophets. But
yes. And they're all human. Isn't that the beauty of the Bible? You know, I had an atheist once tell me, he says he couldn't believe the Bible because everybody was too human. You know, the Bible should be filled with super stories of people who are sinless. And you know, I was like, well, there is Jesus Christ. He is the only sinless one, but he deals with humans and we're all fallen. We're all going to be scared or frightened or egotistical or petty or, you know, it's just part of the human condition. But, you know, just obey God's calling. Do what he's called you to do. You know, leave the results to him. I think that's, Vic, the hardest thing, especially when you talk about evangelism, is that most people are terrified of being rejected. And here with Jeremiah, that's all he's going to face is rejection. Nobody's going to believe him or listen to him or follow him. And that's a hard calling when you know that it's like that Clancy jury, the one man that stood up against the 11.
Praise the Lord. And Nathan, I think right now we've been speaking to someone who's part of this program and they sense God's calling in some area of their lives, but maybe they've been a little bit reluctant. And we pray that God would encourage them because, again, when God calls you, you have no other choice. He's going to put this in your heart and you will obey the Lord. And that's where you know it's a true calling, because the Holy Spirit will continue to put that in your reminder unto you. Go about and do it. And Nathan, also, a calling can only be fulfilled with a relationship with the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit, right, Nate? Other than that, people are not going to be properly equipped to do anything.
Yeah, even those who reject the Lord, like, say, Nebuchadnezzar, for instance, is an instrument. God called him as a judgment against the people, but the Lord humbled him and brought him. I believe we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar in salvation, due to salvation because of his faith in heaven one day. I think of 1 Corinthians 9:16, where Paul says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And so all of us as Christians are called to the Great Commission. Woe to us if we don't preach the gospel.
And it is a great privilege, and that's why we suffer. There's sacrifice involved in it, but at the end, there's blessings and wonderful rewards, right, Nate? Because at the end, if we obey the Lord, he's going to reward us richly. One, salvation, and two, when we get to heaven, all the heavenly rewards. So in this lifetime, we might not see all of it, but the Lord already has purpose for some amazing things. And if that's you and you haven't started this journey with Jesus, he's the one that's going to empower you and equip you to fulfill your calling. So don't be afraid. Instead of running from God, run to God and his loving arms. And Nate, as well, we have about a minute left to the program. I know there's some people that are listening, that being tuned, but maybe there's some who haven't started that relationship with the Lord, that journey. How can we guide them in those steps today?
Well, just know that God loved the world so much that he gave us his one and only Son, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he promises that you will be saved from your sins. The guilt and the burden and the punishment will be put upon the Lord and taken off of you. Pray from your heart in faith and repentance. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I've been in rebellion against you. Please forgive me. I love you, and I want you to be my Savior and the Lord of my life. And Jesus promised to forgive your sins and wash away that guilt and give you eternal life. Go out and get baptized to show the world you're saved. Find a good Bible-believing church. Get involved in a Bible study. Find an accountability partner and grow in your newfound relationship with Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Nate, for sharing that invitation. And if you have accepted that invitation, there's a celebration in heaven for you, for every sinner that has repented, and God has wonderful plans for your life. We will be keeping you in prayer that you will continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So, Nate, what a wonderful chapter in Isaiah chapter 1, and what a blessing that was. And, of course, we ran out of time for this segment of the program. We thank you for being part of it. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and have a wonderful week.
Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have